الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the major concepts in our deen is the notion of the Day of Judgment. And this isn't a concept that's particular to us. This is a concept that is embedded in any of the major monotheistic faiths. So this concept is present in Judaism, it's present in Christianity, obviously it's present in Islam. And it's something that we often forget, but it is essential to who we are. When a person knows that there is a day of judgment and they become focused on the day of judgment, one of the benefits that they receive is that they begin to interact in this life and with the people of this life in a very different way. I'll give you some examples in a moment, but what it ends up doing is it decreases the tension that a person can experience in their interaction with people in this world and relieves them of the worry of the interactions that they have with people of this world. A little convoluted, so let me just give some examples. Look, in life, as we go through life, we have some things that we worry about, and there's sometimes things that bother us or some things that can create tension in us or stress in us. For example, one of the things that creates worry in people is that often others cannot see what's happening to them, right? So, you know, people say, "You don't know how this person treats me. You don't see. You can't see. You don't see how my aunt treats me." When my aunt's in front of you and in front of the family, I'm giving an example. When my aunt's in front of you and in front of the family, everything is rosy. All the words are right. The interaction is perfect. But when I'm alone with my aunt or when I have to interact with my aunt in a private setting, she's very mean and she's very harsh and she's very whatever it might be. So people, one of the things that creates stress in people is that people worry that how I'm being treated by someone or whatever difficulty I might be undergoing, it doesn't even have to be an interaction with another person, any difficulty, no one else can appreciate it the way that I experience it. Or no one else sometimes can even see it. Now, that might be true, right? In your life, you can say, I have this test, I have this trial, I have this individual, I have this circumstance, and they're draining me, or it's draining me, or it's creating a difficulty for me. But once a person becomes comfortable with the day of judgment, and becomes comfortable with the fact that on the day of judgment, there's a judge, and that judge is Allah, and Allah is all-seeing, Allah is all-knowing, Allah is all-hearing, then that relieves a huge stress from them. Because look, if the complaint is, nobody knows the difficulty that I'm going through, nobody knows that I'm being treated this way, nobody knows the stresses that I face, nobody knows how much the world has hurt me, right? Let's just say that those are the thoughts that go through a person's mind. The reality is that might be true, that might be false. It doesn't matter though, because at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all. If there is a difficulty that we are undergoing, if there is a trial that we are undergoing, if there is somebody that is wronging us, if there is a circumstance that is overburdening on us, There is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know about that. So I can either fret about my interactions with people in this world and worry about how this person is doing this and this person is doing that and think about this and think about that, or I can be comforted with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all, sees all, knows all, even that which is not said Allah knows. Allah hears even that which is not stated. So what happens, why I give you this example, just one of many, why I give you this example is because as a person begins to develop themselves in deen, then they begin to recognize that I don't need to worry about these things. I don't need to tell people what's happening to me. I don't need to create a log of all the times that this person wronged me. I don't need to show the world how much difficulty I'm undergoing and how much stress is on me and how this person does this to me and that person does that to me and this third thing happened to me in my life and that thing happened to me in my life and everybody needs to recognize it. It doesn't matter. As a person becomes more attached to deen, as a person turns more towards the hereafter, as a person turns more towards Allah, they become comforted in the fact that no matter what happens to me, Allah sees it and Allah will give me retribution for it. No matter what anybody says to me, Allah hears it and Allah will give me something in exchange for it if I'm patient and I bear it. So all that stress, which basically so much of life is this, right? You know, this person treated me wrong. This person did this to me. That person did that to me. All of that stress is completely alleviated from the heart of a Muslim. Why? Because number one, Allah hears all. Allah sees all. Allah knows all. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accounts for all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make up for all. Okay, now what would be the second stress? The second stress would be that, okay, somebody understands what I'm going through, but they're biased. Somebody understands what I'm going through, but they're biased. Okay? My nephew sees how my aunt treats me. My nephew sees how my aunt treats me. Again, an example. But my nephew sides with my aunt and doesn't side with me. But my nephew knows, he totally knows exactly what's going on, but he's siding with someone else and not siding with me, right? So that's a second fear. That first of all, people don't understand my difficulties, they don't understand my life, they don't understand my trials and tests. But even if there's somebody in the world that does, they're biased. They always take somebody else's side. They don't take my side, they take the other person's side. Okay? That fear is uplifted from the Muslim as well. Why is that fear uplifted? Because not only does Allah see all, Allah know all, Allah hear all, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. There's no bias. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any bias towards anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely just. So I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about, well, you know, even if the person knows what's going on with me, well, are they really going to be fair with me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely just. So we can be comforted by that as well. Right? Then the next thing that a person can worry about is, well, yeah, you know, the person knows my difficulties and the person understands my circumstance, but that person can't do anything about it. Right? So maybe my nephew knows everything that my aunt does to me, and my nephew sides with me and acknowledges it, but can't do anything because they say, I'm the son, I can't say anything to my mom, what are you talking about? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only is all-powerful, but He will make sure that every single interaction is judged on the Day of Judgment. So much so that it's written in tafsir that on the Day of Judgment, before the human beings are judged, first all the animals will be judged. Can you believe that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will gather together all of creation, and before the judgment of the human beings begins, first the judgment of the animals will begin. Now, what will happen? Every interaction between the animals will be so carefully judged to the most minute detail that the human beings will be watching. And they will be thinking that if this is the depth of the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every interaction between an animal was captured, and every interaction between an animal was rectified, then what will be my state once my judgment begins? Right? And it's in that backdrop that they make that famous statement, which is actually in the Quran, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Ya laytani kuntu turaba. You hear the Imam reciting this ayah on occasion. Woe be to me, would that I be dust. Why? Why is the person saying, woe be to me, would that I be dust? Woe be to me, would that I be dust? Because I'm watching the judgment, it's so detailed, and every single thing there's retribution for each act, that if this is the circumstance with the animals, it would be better that I be dust rather than go through that. Now, who will be saying this? All of humanity will be saying this. There won't be some debate about it. Should we be dust? Should we be judged? All of humanity will be equated on this. You know, how many times has humanity agreed on anything? You can't get humanity to agree on one thing. All of humanity, because of this circumstance, will all basically feel the same way, that it would be better that I'm dust rather than I be judged because of the depth of Allah's judgment. So what does the person, who is particular about the Day of Judgment and cognizant of the power of Allah have to worry about? No, nobody can say, my circumstance wasn't known. There'll be no retribution. It won't be, you know, I won't get my due share. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all, sees all, knows all, judges all, and compensates all. And can do everything that He wants about it because He's the master of the universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasure is infinite. If Allah wants to reward a person for a difficulty that they underwent, it does not decrease His treasure in any way. So it's not like we have to fear that there's only 500 people who can win the sweepstakes. It's infinite. Now, the other thing that a person can worry about is they can think that, well, even if somebody harms me, and somebody understands, and somebody can take my side, and somebody can rectify it, they can never make up for what happened. Right? This can be the thought in a person's mind. Somebody harms me, people understand that they harm me, people see the difficulty, people acknowledge the difficulty, people have the ability to stop the difficulty, right? So that's taking it one step further. But still there's a problem, and that problem is that they can never make up for it. They can't make up for the 20 years that I was already harmed. They can't make up for the 5 years that I went through that difficulty. Okay? But a person whose focus is the Day of Judgment and focuses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have that fear at all. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes up for everything. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make up for everything? First of all, when Allah rewards an individual, the reward is so extreme that the entire past gets erased. Listen very carefully. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards an individual, the reward is so extreme that the entire past gets erased. We know from hadith, as we've said many times before, that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring all of humanity, bring the person who suffered the most out of all of humanity, and don't raise your hand and think that that's anybody in this room. The person who suffered the most out of all of humanity, just imagine the poverty, the sickness, the difficulty, the trials that that person must have undergone. Now what happens? That person is put in Jannah for a millisecond. Just in and out. And when they're brought back from Jannah, then it's asked of them in front of all of creation, did you ever experience anything difficult? They have no recollection whatsoever. They have no recollection whatsoever of anything that ever happened. Why? Because this is the reward of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward is such that not only does it fulfill the circumstance, but it makes up for anything in the person's existence. So what do we have to fear? Why do we have to be stressed, or why do we have to worry, or why do we have to complain when we know that we are servants of an all-seeing, all-knowing, all-hearing, completely accounting, able to retribute, all-powerful Allah. Why would a person have to be at all concerned? Why would they have to be at all stressed? Why would they have to at all complain? There's nothing to worry about. Now, beyond this, the other thing to recognize is that, well, you can say, well, yeah, but still, it's really, really difficult in this life because, you know, then somebody can harm you in a way that can be permanently detrimental, right? Somebody can harm me in such a way that's permanent and I have to live with it. Yeah, but the reality is that we don't live here permanently. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us into Jannah, it will be a completely new life. It won't even be a question of memory. Actually, we ourselves will be reinvented. We ourselves will be reinvented. There'll be nothing from here. The whole earth will be completely destroyed. Just some few small subsets of land will exist. Everything else will be wiped out. So in this game, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only hears all, sees all, knows all, accounts for all, will judge all, will then make sure that everything is, all the things are balanced. But the thing is that we will go into Jannah with a completely new being, completely new life, completely new circumstance. So no, nothing is permanent. It's not like I have to live with the memories of the past or I have to deal with the issues of the past. Nothing is permanent. This is the dominant understanding of a person as they begin to develop in deen. And what this does is this then leads them to live a life that allows them to be content in this life. Look, people are not content because they have all these worries, right? People are worried, what are people saying to me? What are people doing to me? What are people taking to me? How are people harming me? Who's trying to hurt me? Who's trying to bother me? Why doesn't anybody appreciate or understand me? Allah encompasses all of that. Allah encompasses all of that. If anybody in this room makes any sacrifice, Allah appreciates it, recognizes it, and multiplies it. Allah appreciates it. Allah recognizes it, appreciates it, multiplies it. Gives a person a reward in this life and a reward in the hereafter. So how could we ever say, I feel underappreciated? Yeah. If we feel underappreciated because the community doesn't respect me, my family doesn't respect me, my kids don't respect me. Yeah, that is a circumstance that people can say that they're feeling underappreciated. But the person of deen is always beyond that. Because the focus isn't the people around them. The focus turns away from the people around them towards Allah. The more a person does dhikr, the more a person engages in salah, the more a person turns from this dunya towards akhirah, the more they begin to care about what Allah thinks and begin to care less about what people think. The more they begin to care about what their life will be in the hereafter, the less they care about what their life is going to be here. And this is the benefit of deen. This is the benefit of the message. Read through the Quran. What is the Quran reminding us of? It's reminding us of the passing nature of this world. It highlights the few things in this world that are reminders that help us to focus on our deen. And then it focuses us on the hereafter. And that's exactly where we have to be. That's the sign of a person who's developing in their deen. Look how much difficulty Rasulullah ﷺ underwent. How much the people around him, you know, harmed him, insulted him in one way, harmed him in another way, mistreated him in another way. I mean, very, very, very difficult circumstances. Yet Rasulullah ﷺ was so focused on Allah, and Sahaba were so focused on Allah that it was almost as if it didn't exist. I mean, we know the stories of people who were, wounded in battle, and they go into salah in order for, you know, the weapons to be removed from their bullets, quote unquote, not the bullets, but the arrows to be removed from their bodies. Why? Because when they would go in salah, they would disappear. Why would they disappear? Because if salah was their opportunity to completely embed themselves in the worship of Allah and completely disconnect themselves from the dunya. We are people who know that there is a judge, and that judge sees everything. And that even if somebody's following us, we don't have to announce it because that judge appreciates everything. And we also recognize that there is no winner or loser. Right? You can't win or lose in this life. Let me make something very clear. You cannot win or lose in this life. There are no winners. There are no losers. There are only winners and losers in the hereafter. Now, the person who wins in this life is, there's nothing you can do within this life that would make you a winner. You cannot have a certain bank account and you become a winner. You cannot have a certain assets and you become a winner. You cannot have a certain degree and you become a winner. That doesn't make you a winner. The only thing that makes you a winner is what the consequences in the hereafter. And a person can't be a loser. You can't be in poverty and say you're a loser. You can't not have gotten this degree and say you're a loser. The only thing that makes us a loser in this life would be if we fail in the hereafter. So our focus should be on the hereafter, and we should be completely relaxed about the petty nature of this world. Of all the he said, she said, and he did, she did, and he took and she took, and whatever it might be. These are all passing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all. If somebody harms me in any way, Allah will see it, Allah will account for it, and Allah will give me something in return if I have sabr. If somebody takes something from me, does something to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I don't have to worry about whether, did you see it? Did he see it? Did she see it? Did she acknowledge it? Did he acknowledge it? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix it? I don't have to worry about any of that. All of that's taken care of. All of that's taken care of. That's just the nature of this deen. And that's what brings a person peace. And that's actually where we should invest ourselves. Why should I put my faith in any person on the planet that they're going to be able to take care of my issues? Nobody can. They have their own issues, let alone being able to understand what I'm going through. Everybody has their own issues. Only Allah knows. Only Allah has the ability to individually handle every single person on the planet and do it in a way that never decreases his treasure. Who in the world is going to be able to acknowledge what I do, multiply it, and return it to me in both this life and the next? Nobody can. Nobody in our existence even has the ability to do it. First of all, it's hard to get people to acknowledge. Second of all, they can't multiply it. Third of all, they cannot reward. They can give me a little reward here, but they can't give me anything there. It's impossible. This is the beauty of our deen. This is the beauty of being attached to Allah. This is the beauty of worshiping Allah and seeing Allah as the one who matters, the one whose focus, on whom we focus. That's the nature of our deen. The more a person begins to appreciate this, the more they become at peace with themselves, the more they become at peace with the world around them, the more they begin to recognize the reality of this existence, and the more they'll benefit themselves in the hereafter. It's very important for us to appreciate who the judge is and how that judge rewards and what the consequence is, which is that there's only one consequence, and that's the hereafter. And that no one can take that from me except myself. No one can take that from me. It doesn't matter if somebody's jealous about what I have or jealous about what I might have. Nobody can take it. Nobody can touch that. That's in a whole nother realm, and that has to pass through a phase that makes everybody powerless. Nobody gets to the next phase without becoming rendered powerless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to recognize that He is our judge, and may He make us amongst those who are able to recognize that He is the just one who will compensate for all.